Our presentation today is entitled Earth Day, Walking the Talk, and will be presented by our very own Gary Gates. Gary is going to talk about some of the ways he and his wife Pam try to go lightly on the earth. And a little bit about Gary. Gary Gates was the head of the State Department of Employee Trust Funds, administering the state's Wisconsin retirement system, group, health, life, disability, and other employee benefits, many of you whom may have benefited from that. The Wisconsin State Journal featured him in its Know Your Madisonian column on December 17, 2000. But his career as a top state bureaucrat was not what prompted that recognition. It was his having recycled his millionth aluminum can. After retiring, he indulged in another burning passion by lighting fires all over the state of Wisconsin. Last year, the Wisconsin State Journal in a front page article again featured him. But it was not about his pyromaniac tendencies. It was because he had recycled his two millionth aluminum can. Today he will talk about how his lifestyle reflects the values of Earth Day, which was celebrated on Friday. There you go, Gary.
Normally, people are selected to talk at this time because they have a special area of knowledge to share. I have no illusion that this is why I was selected. I was asked to talk because I am weird. What else can you say about someone whose idea of fun is to dig through garbage? So recycling over 2 million aluminum cans, doesn't he have anything better to do? How does he even know how many he recycled? 2,117,940, 2,170,941, 2,117,942. Actually, even I'm not quite that weird. 27.5 ordinary size aluminum cans weighs 1 pound. When I take the cans to the recycling center, they weigh them and I just multiply the weight, 77,016 pounds. By 27.5 equals 2,117,942 cans. My weirdness manifested itself even as a kid. I'd go to the beach, but I rarely went into the water. I'd instead walk around, pick up trash, and put it in the trash barrel. My real claim to weirdness came in 1988, however, when I started keeping track of how many aluminum cans I was recycling. I should note that if you plan on spending your life digging through garbage, it helps to have a supportive spouse. I didn't really get going on cans until after I met Pam and married Pam. We both biked to work, and on the way to work, doing from work, we'd stop and pick up aluminum cans when we saw them. I started wondering, I wonder how many cans we're recycling. So I started counting, and we were recycling on average about 30 a day. While I talk about the number of cans I recycle, Pam has continued picking up cans also, and I just add them into my total, so I'm a little fraudulent here. Pam just doesn't dig around through the trash barrels and dumpsters to find the cans, that's all. In fact, sometimes when we're out walking and I'm pointing out the sights to her, she'll tell me she really doesn't even know where the best trash cans and dumpsters are. Pam, however, has always been very understanding about my habit of bringing home dirty, smelly clothing for her to launder. In fact, when I started my obsession, I frequently found good clothing in dumpsters, and I'd bring them loads of it home for her to wash. Then we would donate it to St. Vincent's and Goodwill. After a few years, however, Pam said she was tired of doing laundry for the entire city of Madison. And I had to get more selective and bring home only clothing that she and I could wear or friends could wear. By the way, Pam also has some quirks of her own. When we bought our house, a washing machine and dryer came with it. She promptly said she'd never use a dryer. She wanted to hang it out on a clothesline. So we gave the dryer away. She will hang stuff around the house in the winter, but on the coldest days, but it's not unusual to have to bring the clothing into the house to thaw before we put it away. Neither of us likes water softeners either, so because they use salt. So to deal with the problem of Madison's hard water, we set up a rain barrel outside and haul rainwater downstairs to do our laundry in. We have about 150, 200 gallons in our basement right now. We have to have a lot of ahead because sometimes you go through a drought type period. When Pam does laundry, she pours water into the machine to do the law, and she times it so that when the rinse cycle comes on, she runs back downstairs and pours more water in. It's a very time-intensive way to do laundry. One of Pam's favorite things to volunteer for is doing laundry at Beacon, the homeless day shelter. She'd come home and brag about doing 30 or 40 loads in a day. And I've never asked her how she overcame her aversion to using clothes dryers and artificially softened water. I would never be so undiplomatic as to say Pam is weird. But maybe you can see how we fit together. As co-chair of Prairie Social Action Committee, Pam has been a strong advocate for making the homeless a focus of our social action activities. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that her husband is often mistaken as being homeless. People try to give me money. When they see me scrounging into the garbage cans, they can't believe I don't need help. Anyway, in 1988, I started wondering how many cans Pam and I were picking up and started counting, as I said, averaging 30 cans a day. I said to myself, I can easily get that up to 50. Then I said, I can get that up to 100. And each time I set a new goal, I got it higher and higher. And I started keeping track by the year. I said, I'll beat last year's record. And pretty soon I was leaving a couple hours early before work, getting home a couple hours late because I was going through dumpsters and trash cans in the parks. Pam never complained. Maybe she didn't want me around, I don't know. But in 2000, I was featured in the State Journal as Know Your Madisonian, as was noted, because I had recycled over 1 million cans. Every year I had said to myself, I can beat last year's record. And I did, until 1998, when I recycled 253,000 cans. I killed myself doing it. Sometimes I hunted cans for 24 hours or more straight. I was definitely sleep deprived and said I'd never try to beat that record again. Instead, I made fire my priority at that point. My can count fell to only 20 to 40,000 a year. Actually, my love of fire also began when I was a kid. We lived in a small rural area of Dane County and burned our trash. My parents always gave me the job of burning the trash because I loved it so much. We also had a small fire. We had a pasture, which my dad would burn off in the spring to get better growth. One day I was there when I was 12, and I was all by myself. I thought, I can do that. So I had lit the fire. And I was fighting mightily to keep the fire from going onto the neighbor's property when my dad came home and helped put it out. I was really struggling at that point, so I was sort of glad to see him, even though my dad was not a kind and forgiving person. He had a rawhide leather strap that he often used on us kids. I figured I wouldn't be able to sit down for weeks. But he never said a word or punished me. I've wondered sometimes if that was because I never told him I lit the fire. I remember my mom talking about how the neighbors all thought her father was crazy because he had burned off his fields and woods to get better pastures. I guess fire is just part of my DNA. After deciding to make fire my priority, I did controlled burns with the Nature Conservancy, prairie enthusiasts, fish and wildlife, DNR, Ice Age Trail, and whoever else wanted to light a fire. You might wonder why all these nature organizations are so interested in lighting fires. One, prairies are fire dependent. If you don't have fire, the overlay of dead vegetation will eventually shade out the plants underneath them. Weeds will come in, trees will come in and shade out, and you won't have a prairie anymore. Two, frequent small burns do a lot less damage than huge conflagrations, so you get rid of all that buildup before it gets to be too much and too much of a fire. And three, square foot for square foot, a well-established prairie, due to its massive and deep roots, sequesters more carbon than any other kind of vegetation. Unfortunately, we have plowed under, paved over, and otherwise destroyed almost all of the hundreds of thousands of acres of prairie that we had when Europeans came to the country. There are very few well-established prairies anymore. I participate in hundreds of controlled burns, sometimes doing 7 or 8 burns in a week. You can see how obsessive I am. I also participate in and led over 100 brush clearing work parties where we burned the brush. I love fire. There's just no getting around it. At age 80, however, I was forced to recognize that I was no longer able to keep up had the stamina to keep up burning. I could do the burns, but when you do a burn, you've got to be able to keep going at the end of the burn to make sure you get it all out. And I'd find I'd be dragging around, not really doing my share of getting the fire out at that point. So I gave up burning. We went back to cans. Last year was the first year since 1998 that I recycled over 100,000 cans. My objective has always been to recycle cans that otherwise would have ended up in the dump. And as my activity has gained more notoriety, I am notorious, people have started throwing bags of cans in my yard. Sometimes when people see me biking down the street, they'll yell at me to stop because they have cans for me. When I receive these gifts, I'm never sure whether they would have been recycled anyway. But I count them as my cans. The same is true of the cans that the pan brings in, as I said. I have been stopped by the police several times. That hasn't happened for several years now. This is due partly to the fact that I don't go out at night as often, and partly that I'm out there long enough, I've been out there long enough that they already know who I am. One winter day, I was weaving a little because I was trying to get warmer gloves on. The officer said my can stick looked like a weapon. She seemed really reluctant, but finally decided she had to let me go. Another time, she thought I was drunk because I was weaving. Another time, I had this apartment dumpster that was always full of cans. I'd clean up trash around it, and the maintenance guy said he was really happy to see me because I always made things look so neat. Then they got a new maintenance man. He immediately said, "You look trashy. Don't ever come here again." I hated to give up that dumpster. It was so good. I decided I would get there at 4 o'clock in the morning before he got up. One morning, as I was leaving, 4 police cars surrounded my bike. This guy got up earlier than I was thinking. I explained what I was doing, and the officers recognized me. They just told me not to come back to that dumpster and let me go. I have often wondered, however, how that would have worked out if I were black. Is my candidate freedom simply a measure of white privilege? I expect it is. I don't know. I've never liked the term white privilege because it implies it's something unusual. It should be something extended to everyone. Returning to fire, I had hoped to burn the prairie out front today. If things dried off sufficiently, and if the wind wasn't too high, and the weather hasn't been totally cooperative, I'm going to make a final decision after the service, and I'll go out and look and see if we can still burn it. If not, I plan on burning it Wednesday at 1 o'clock when the weatherman says the weather will be perfect. But if it can burn today, I'd like at least two or three people to help assist me with the burn. Or if not today, then to do the same thing on Wednesday at 1 o'clock. I should note that no one should get close to a fire if they have man-made clothing, that is, materials. Rayon, nylon, whatever comes out of oil, burns fairly easily and melts into the skin. So the approved clothing when you're doing a fire is cotton, wool, or leather. I always wear leather boots, never tennis shoes. I'll be happy to answer questions at this point, if there are any. Otherwise, I need to get back to can hunting. Dan. Yeah, of course, anybody can start a fire. But Nature and Conserve, I've gone to probably, well, not counting annual refresher courses, probably 15, 20 courses on how to do a fire effectively, primarily with the Nature Conservancy, but also others. There is a real art to it, and I can't say that I've learned all of it, but I want to know how to burn, and Nature Conservancy actually requires that you have at least one course before you start burning with them. But I think it was 4 years ago. I think it was 88. Not 98, I mean. As I said, my memory's getting a little hazy. Twenty 2018 it would have been. I'll get it right yet. Well, the question is, how do I go about collecting and what's the image? I have rigged up my bike on the back. It has hooks here, there, and elsewhere, and a structure. I have carried 1,600 cans at a time on my bike. I could carry more, but it gets to be a little difficult. Particularly when it's windy, it's like trying to ride under full sail, and the wind isn't always going my way. But that is one thing that people often say, they saw me on my bike and say, well, are you sure? Was that me? They never have any doubt. I would note that one thing, side effect of being out there on my bike and collecting cans, is faith in, does restore some faith in human nature. I give stop and far up more often people trying to give me money than I have by the police. The question is, how did cans become a priority for me? I don't know I can effectively answer it other than the fact that I'm very obsessive. Whatever I do excessively. As I did with the can hunting and then as I did with burning, that's probably also how I became Secretary of Employee Trust, because I was always obsessive at my work. Workaholic might describe me, but I don't think being a workaholic is all bad. I also remember that at the time that I had started collecting the cans, I can't remember the exact dates, but Pam was taking care of her father, and who was dying. And I was by myself, so I had to fill it with something. The question is, have I seen any improvement in what other people are doing to recycle? I can't say that I have. Maybe I wouldn't see it. What really bothers me is not so much that people aren't recycling things, but how much trash they put in the recycle barrels. When I started doing cans, I got to know the guys who picked up garbage at Violas. And they said, oh, go in the recycle barrels too, please. We can't recycle that stuff. And I've seen multiple dirty diapers and cigarette butts. And I was standing at Brittingham a couple of years ago, and I was taking the trash out of the recycle barrel to purify it. And a guy came up and dumped a plate of beans in there. I keep hoping that I'm going to, the example that will be followed, but I can't say I've really seen it. The example probably does have an effect, and I can't say that I'm going to take credit for it, but I have been, I was stopped a couple of years ago by a woman who said, can I take a picture of you and your bike? I want to put it on our website. I'm with the Trashinistas. Observation was that we've always at Prairie had a lot of people who are very interested and active in promoting the natural world. In fact, I feel like I'm not very much in that tradition. I'm just obsessive about things. Lots of people know more about prairies than I do. I just know how to burn them. Well, I thank you. I think it looks like that we're done with the questions, and I always prefer to answer questions rather than just talk up here and bore you to death. Thank you.